it'll help you. Amen. That way you can have all of them. And also tonight at 6 o'clock, he's teaching again. Amen. It's on love. It'll help us. Amen. So if you will please help me introduce or welcome, welcome Dr. Ricky Edwards. Amen.
Meet a couple, three people. Tell them how glad you are to see them. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good morning. Good to see you, sir. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God forever. So honored to be here with all of you all. We appreciate, how many know you could be anywhere else, but you chose of your own free will to come to church today. Amen. Amen. Now we know the building ain't the church. People that are saved are. Amen. Amen. But we really appreciate you taking the time to come. And we've prepared to the best of our ability so that we trust the Holy Ghost to help bring forth help, answers, things to us. Amen. I mean, you know, it's always good to go to church, but it's even better to go to church and get some answers. Yes, some help. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll be teaching along the line, as Pastor Ricky was talking about, on love. A few months ago, the Lord began to talk to me personally about 2022. And this was before we did our New Year's Eve meeting. And he said, I was wanting a word like 2022, there'll be no more plague, there'll be no more sickness, everything's going to be lovely and the church wins and there'll be no difficulty and everybody's going to love one another. But you know, I didn't get that. Amen. But how many of you know we can still have that? One of the things that God helped us with years ago, as he does all the time, is we knew to pray for Israel. And one of the things that we prayed for Israel, according to the scripture, was pray for the peace of Israel. Yes. Well, years ago, God began to talk to me and he said, do you even know what you're asking? And I said, yeah, I'm praying that they won't have no trouble. And he said, I thought that's what you was asking. And he said, you really don't understand the scriptures, do you? And I said, I guess I don't, but I thought you said pray for the peace. He said, you're praying that they have no trouble. But he said, there are other groups of people over there that think they are the descendants of Abraham. And they think the land belongs to them. But if you've ever studied the scriptures, it'll tell you who that land belongs to. If this is God's word, the Bible, he says that land belongs to the Jews.
Yes, sir.
Whether you believe it or not, whether I believe it or not, God said so. If this is the Bible, I believe it is. I really believe it's God talking to us. Then there's going to be people that's going to come after that land all the time. And so there's never going to be a time without trouble.
Amen.
So he said peace means nothing broken and nothing missing.
Amen.
So in the midst of trouble, if they can have peace, so can you and I.
Yes. Amen.
The peace of God is not the absence of trouble.
Amen.
The peace of God is a settled.
Yes.
I mean, no, it don't matter what craziness is going on in the world, we can still have fun.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We can still have peace. We can still enjoy the presence of God, the salvation of God.
Yes.
Amen. It's not that we're callous to people that are being destroyed, but I mean, no, I can't make people choose God. We can tell them, we can show them, and if they make the right choice, they can get involved. Are you with
Amen.
Me? Amen. Hallelujah. So, this morning, we're going to go back after the subject of love, and as we were saying, God began to tell us, personally, or me, He said, in 2022, it will be more of the same. And I really thought the COVID thing and all the other stuff would be over, but you know, if I heard right, he said more of the same. Now listen, if we're going to have more of the same in 2022 as we did in 21, how many of you besides Sally and I, it was your best year ever? For us it was.
Amen.
Now listen, I'm not trying to be insensitive. We went through some hard places, but we still went through them.
Yes, sir.
Yes. We don't live there. We went through them.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. And so in that, one of the things that Brother Hagin said before he left earth, some of the things Smith Wigglesworth prophesied before he left earth. He said the earth would experience one of the greatest healing revivals before the second coming of Jesus. If there is to come a great healing revival, what does there need to be in our land? Sicknesses that medical science can't touch.
Yes, sir.
And people will look someplace else. Now listen, we're not opposed to doctors. We're not opposed. We would go to a doctor. Are you following? We're not opposed to hospitals. We would go to hospitals. We're not opposed to medicine. We would take medicine. Are you with me?
Amen.
We're not saying anything like that. But there's some things that they're going to come up against that they can't fix.
Yes.
But how many know, you and I know there is another resource.
Amen.
His name is Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. Glory to God. So how many of you know, the future is bright.
Yes.
Amen. Glory to God. And we'll not face it fearfully. We know whom we have believed and are fully persuaded that he is able to keep us.
Amen.
Amen. As we walk with him. So if you got your Bibles there this morning, if you would, open them back up to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. And we'll have the gentleman pull this up in the Amplified. Galatians 5, 6. We're going to pray and then we'll get right off into it. Father, this morning we love and thank you and praise you. We thank you for the opportunity to join together. And Father, we're so thankful that we're not limited to what I would know. It would be so, so far below what you would have planned for this service today. So we look to the one that has the ability to bring forth light, illumination, revelation, the Holy Ghost, third person of the Trinity. The Spirit of God and the Word of God will always agree. So Spirit of God, we know you will bring forth light, illumination in agreement with the Word of God. Father, as we've studied to do everything we know to do, we thank you. You make my pen as a tongue and ready writer. We thank you, Father God, the people we have ears to hear. Our hearts are open. And we thank you, even if we don't understand some things, if we can see it in the Word, we trust the Holy Ghost to pull the cover back. Show us, reveal to us. People have come to this place this morning looking for answers. You are the answer giver. People have come looking for help. You are the help giver. So we thank you, Father, all of us in this place. We're not looking to a man or a woman, but we're looking to you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for your visitation to us by the teaching of the Word. And we give you all praise, glory, and honor for it in Jesus' name. And all that agreed said amen, please.
Amen.
Now the Lord told me 2022 more of the same. And if you do listen to Brother Copeland, Kenneth Copeland, there were four things God gave him about 2022. These four things are correction, direction, protection, and perfection.
Amen.
So if you would, tell your neighbor, say, correction comes before direction. Correction comes before direction. Correction comes before direction.
Amen.
If I'm needing direction, most of the time, what do I need prior?
Correction.
Remember, it was said in a humorous way. There was some difficulty going on with some folk, and they had tried several things and exhausted several resources and got no better. And one of them says, "Probably we're going to have to end up praying." And one person said, "Oh Lord, has it come to that?" But you know. Isn't it amazing that a lot of times we will exhaust the things that we think should fix something without consulting him who knows everything first?
Amen.
If you would you go over to James I know I asked him to pull that up, and we'll get to that. But James 1, please. James chapter 1. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for helping us. James chapter 1. Let's start in verse 1, and we'll go down through verse 5. James 1, verse 1 through 5, King James, King James. Thank you, sir. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, which are what?
Scattered abroad,
greetings. And he said, my brethren, can you all tell me what it says? Okay, what's it say?
Count it all joy.
Now, is joy one of the 9 fruits of the Spirit out of Galatians 5? How many of you, besides us or besides me, have at times been in very hard situation and asked God, God, we need your joy? I have. And he would tell me, he says, I've already given you my joy.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes.
So you have to exercise what he's already given as much as love.
Yes, sir.
He's given us 9 fruits of the Spirit, which are characteristics of God. Yes. Correct?
Yes, sir.
So he said, there's joy in you, but in this difficult situation, you have to release joy.
Amen.
That
yes,
is already
sir.
In you. Correct? Yes. But is James writing concerning, of course, James, the half-brother, is the pastor at Jerusalem, and he penned this book after his name.
Yes, sir.
He's a pastor at Jerusalem.
Yes,
this is the half-brother
yes,
of Jesus.
Yes,
and he's dealing undoubtedly with difficult situation that the church are going to, or the churches, which are scattered abroad.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen.
And he writes and he says, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, tests or trials.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So smile at somebody and say, here's a good answer to when we're in tests and trials.
Yes,
verse 3, please. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what?
Patience.
A lot of people don't understand patience. The only heard it said, I've probably said it myself in times past. People have said, you better be careful about asking God for patience.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
See, some of you cringed right then. I saw you. Like you got hit with a wet dish rag. Patience isn't having to wait a long time. But anyway, we're not talking about all that. But we mentioned it. I ain't got time to cook it. You'll have to cook it and study it. I just throwed it to you raw. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, what?
Let him ask of God.
That he may give to all men liberally, upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In the King James Version, if you look at James 1:5, it will reference you to Proverbs 8:17. Can you pull up Proverbs 8:17? Proverbs 8:18, I love them that love me, and those that what?
Seek me early shall find.
Those that what?
Seek me early shall find me.
Isn't it interesting, when Sally and I got back in fellowship with God in 84, some of us that have been around the things of God for a few years now, do you remember Dr. Larry Lee? Some do. And it was, could you not tarry 1 hour? And he taught, and this is when the early morning prayer really got a hold, and men and groups of men and groups of women were meeting at 5 a.m. in the morning and praying, because and this was one of the key verses, they thought early was a.m.
Amen.
Now listen, I'm not making fun of that. I'm not.
Amen.
Because sometimes people have to work, or you follow me and stuff, and so they met early to be able and pray. But out of James 1:5, in reference to Proverbs 8:17, those that seek me early, in reference to James 1:5, meant early into any test or trial,
Amen.
Seek God first.
Amen.
Not last.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
So if something starts happening, we should consult with God very beginning of it.
Amen.
Not try to fix it or deal with it for months and then finally go and say, God, would you please help me with this?
Right. Amen. Amen.
So everybody say, I'll go to God early.
I'll go to God early.
At the beginning of a test or trial.
At the beginning of a test or trial.
Now, in this book, Love, Way to Victory, and they'll have access to more. I don't think we have any more right now, but they can get more. If you have your book, if you do have a book, or if you don't, or you have one at home, write these pages down. I'm going to read to you from page 151, 151 through 152. And then we're going to go to Galatians 5, 6 Amplified that he had previously. This is called The Benefits of Walking in Love. The Bible encourages us to make the love of God our great aim and our great quest in life. There must be a reason God wants walking in the God kind of love to be a priority in our lives. Actually, there are wonderful benefits and good results that come when we walk in love. For example, now this is Brother Hagin speaking, I'm just reading what he wrote. For example, I have walked in divine health for more than 65 years. Everybody say divine health. Now, I want to make a real quick just note here. Is there a difference between health and divine health?
Yes.
There absolutely is. What's divine mean? Divinity. God kind. Much emphasis has been put on eating right and exercise. Timothy says, bodily exercise profit a little.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
But godliness profit, remember what it says? Always. Forever. It'll not only help your physical life, but it'll help the life later. Now listen, you should eat right.
Yes.
Amen. Don't eat the whole pie.
Amen. Amen.
Are you following?
Yes.
Sure. Absolutely. Exercise is good. Amen.
Yes.
I watch a lot of shows with people exercising.
Amen.
But see, don't emphasize natural things compared to spiritual things.
Yes, sir.
So health is good, but divine health you can't get from eating right.
Amen.
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 I'll prove it. I can eat greens and salads and nothing with, what's that, syrup, cornstarch or whatever. What is it?
High fruit. Corn syrup.
Yeah, that fructose stuff. Amen. And all of that. And never touch it, but hate your guts.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes,
and
sir.
I will not walk in health.
Yes.
Amen.
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 I can work out every day of the week physically, weights, run, do everything, and hold grudges against you, and I will not walk in health. So everybody say divine health.
Divine health.
Now listen, don't go out there and say, Brother Ricky, don't believe in exercising. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I do. I do. But it won't keep me well only.
Amen. Amen.
It won't benefit me only.
Amen.
Okay. So he says, I have walked in divine health for more than 65 years. Brother Hagin says, last headache I had was in August of 1933. Well, it's too late to start having headaches now. And he says, I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on Jesus and his word.
Amen.
Now, don't misunderstand me. I passed up some marvelous opportunities. The last headache I can remember that tried to attach itself to me was in 1977. He said, I just pulled out into the street from our offices at Rhema. Suddenly, my head started hurting. I said, no, you don't, Satan. You have to leave in Jesus' name. By the time I turned the corner, it was gone. That's the last time I can even remember passing up an opportunity to have a headache.
Amen.
page 152 in the book. In all these years, I've never been sick unless I've missed it somewhere, either in the love walk or in obedience to God. Amen. Every step out of love is sin. Every single time I've missed it, I've repented just as fast as I could, and I got back into love and obedience. Normally, the minute I repented, I was healed. I don't mean I had to wait several days for symptoms to clear up. I was immediately healed or well on the way to recovery. Now, I'm gonna say something right here real quick. The other day, well, it's been a few weeks ago, I was driving to a place to pick up a load of sand in a truck and for the batch plant. And I was on my way, and symptoms, well, let's go back. The night prior, there was a business thing that my wife and I had done with some agreement on development of some stuff, land and things. And something had transpired, and we get a call from the city and different things, and this person did stuff that we had agreed wouldn't be done. And so I said to my wife, I am so done. Let's just say their name's Boudreaux. And if your name's Boudreaux, I just pulled that out of the air. But let's say, and I said to her, I said, I'm just so done with Boudreaux. I have had it up to here with them. Da 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 da.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, just a few hours later, I got some very alarming symptoms. Now you can quote all you want to 1 Peter 2:24, but those symptoms did not leave. I am a child of God. I belong to God. Healing belongs to me. And I even said several scriptures just to make myself feel good. I'm driving down the road, and I'm trying to pull up Brother Hagin on a particular message on YouTube, and I've got headsets and stuff, so my hands are free. And you have to clarify this stuff. I see a gentleman back here with a badge on. I'm going to make it sound good. And so all this stuff. And this one particular teaching keeps coming up. And I'm like, I don't want that. I want this other one. So I do it again. And I'm driving. And after the fourth time, finally, I stop. And Spirit of God in here asked me, he's like, how long is this going to take? He said, do you really think this is a coincidence?
Amen.
He said, I would really advise you to listen to this.
Amen.
I listened to it. As soon as I got through down the road just a little ways, listening to it, I started repenting.
Amen.
Lord, I shouldn't have said that. I ask you to forgive me. And do you know, before I got to the next town to get the sand, every alarming symptom that I had of a particular disease left.
Amen.
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 Either the word's true or it's not. We all, you wouldn't be even bothering coming. I know you agree with me. It's true.
Amen. Amen.
He goes on to say, now don't misunderstand me at all. If folks need medicine, they should take medicine under a doctor's supervision, of course. He said, I've sent folks to doctors when they needed it and even bought them medicine. But you see, the benefits of walking in love are so good, I want you to get in on them.
Amen.
The benefits include health, healing, The best time to get in on it is while you're young, so you can enjoy the blessings of all the benefits of walking in love, the God kind of love, for the rest of your life.
Amen.
Amen. He says, I'm very careful about walking in love. Love is God's way to prosper, spirit, soul, and body. Walking in the God kind of love is the way to prosper in every area of your life. Amen. Love worketh what? And he asks a question. It worketh, remember Romans 13? It worketh no ill to who? His neighbor. That means to anyone. Right? But he said that should be especially true among us, the family of God.
Amen.
Right? Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, Amplified says, For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only what?
Faith.
Faith. Now, we're going to write these down and not let them get away from us. Faith what?
Activated.
Energized.
Expressed.
And working. How? Through love. This morning, the Lord wanted me to emphasize something about people praying about a trouble, a test, perhaps a sickness or lack, financial deal, and even making good confessions, and actually is faith, but their love walk is disdain. And he says that's why they get frustrated, because they think faith doesn't work.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
But faith, well, I tell you what, let's go over this. Go with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Mark 11, 22, please. Mark 11, 22. You know the story prior to it. They were on their way from Bethany. They were hungry. Jesus sees a tree. He goes to it. He digs around in it. Finds no fruit. Backs up. Looks at it. And talks to the tree. Right?
Amen.
And well, I tell you what. Let's look at verse 13. Let's look at 12. And on the morrow when they come from Bethany, he was hungry. He seen a fig tree afar off having leaves. He came if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Verse 14. And Jesus did what?
Answered.
What? Who did he answer? The tree. What did the tree say? It's interesting, isn't it? Can stuff hear you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Sure can.
Amen.
Trees?
Yes, sir.
Material for a building?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Stuff that you need for living?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Must. Yeah. Yes, Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. They went on. Next day, remember, the morning they come by, and Peter, he saw the tree, right? About verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Verse 21. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed, is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, yeah, you know I am the Son of God. I wish you could, but you can't. But... But see, people think that.
Yes, sir.
Jesus answered and said unto them, what did Jesus say in the King James?
Have faith in God.
Have faith in God. Listen to these other translations. And if you have a Bible with scriptures in the middle of it as reference, you can look in the middle here for the number 2, where it says in the King James, have faith in God. It says, have the faith of God. Or have the God kind of faith.
Yes, sir.
Look at somebody and say, have the faith of God.
Have the faith of God.
Have the God kind of faith.
Have the God kind of faith.
Now, how many faiths are there in the earth? There's several. David wrote about Pharaoh. He said, some trust, which is confidence, or the word for faith.
Yes.
Some trust in chariots, some in horses.
Right.
But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Amen.
That's faith.
That's right.
Faith is, it's a trust, it's a belief, and it's not just in the New Testament.
Amen.
Yes.
It's recorded in Habakkuk and other places.
Yes.
So it's a trust or faith in God.
Yes.
So what is the God kind of faith? Tell me Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many of y'all trust your automobile you have? I see we need better cars here, but we got four. Some of you are like, no. This is not a trick question. Some of y'all are gun shy. My wife was like, sometimes she'll tell the young guys that we call them mentors, she'll tell, don't answer. Don't. No, it's this not a trick question. How many of y'all trust your car?
Yes, sir.
Do you have faith in it?
Yes.
Okay. That is not the God kind.
That's right. No, sir.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Amen.
But don't think that is God kind of faith.
Right. Amen.
The only way to have the God kind of faith is to be based on God's word.
Yes, sir.
When people say, I believe God, what do you believe? Well, I believe he is a God.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. Yeah.
What do you know about him? Well, I believe he's in heaven. But how many know you have to get to know God by his word?
Yes, sir. Amen.
We're not where God is right now.
Yes, sir.
We are going to go where God is.
Yes, sir.
But we need to find out about him here.
Yes, amen.
To know what he thinks, what his will is, what he wants for us,
amen,
is revealed from his word.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Because you will be challenged on what you believe.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Not by us, but by the enemy.
Yes, sir.
So everybody say God kind.
God kind.
Okay. So Jesus immediately brings us in. It involves us with this story. Mark records it. We need the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So, look at verse 23. Immediately after us having the God kind of faith, he says, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast sea, shall not doubt in his heart. Believe those things which he says shall come pass, he shall have what?
Whatsoever he saith.
But this is only related to things in the Word. You can't just say every crazy thing and attach the God kind of faith to it.
Amen. Amen.
Are you following?
Yes, sir.
It has to be attached to the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
So everybody say, confession of faith.
Confession of faith.
Okay. Jesus brings all this out here in Mark 11. Now verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you what?
Pray.
So undoubtedly this must be the prayer of faith.
Yes, sir.
What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive him, and what? This will not work for everybody. This will only work for the individual. I cannot pray the prayer of faith for you. You cannot pray the prayer of faith for me.
Amen.
Because if you pray something I don't agree with, you're trying to come against my will.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
But what I believe according to the word, I must believe when I pray, then I get it.
Yes, amen, sir.
Now there are other prayers for us to come. Remember Matthew 18:19? The prayer of agreement.
Yes, sir.
Any two of you on earth. Right?
Yes, sir.
Then there's prayers you can pray for other believers. Ephesians.
Yes.
The eyes of understanding being enlightened. They might know what is the hope and will of his calling. Things like that. Correct?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Sure. So we know there's different types of praying. Remember in Ephesians 6, what is it? About verse 18, 19. Paul said, since we're ministers, he said, I would ask this be prayed for ministers. I pray, he said, ask God to give us utterance, that we may speak the word of God boldly, to make known the mysteries. Is that correct?
Amen.
So you can pray that. See, you're not trying to change the will of God, for somebody else in that way. So we know then, everybody say, prayer of faith.
Prayer of faith.
Then verse 25, please. And when you stand praying, do what?
Forgive.
So now we're getting into the love.
Yes, sir.
Faith has to be activated, energized, expressed, and what?
Work.
Work. Will your faith work by itself?
No, sir.
What does it have to be expressed through and work with?
Love.
Love. What does your confession of faith have to be expressed with and work through?
Love.
So if I'm holding a grudge, unforgiveness,
yes, sir.
Will my God kind of faith work?
No, sir.
This should begin to explain why many Christians who have had diseases, and not only they, but church bodies have prayed for them, laid hands on them, you don't see results. And it makes Christians scratch their head like, God, your word promises us healing and health. Why?
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
You don't know what's in somebody's heart.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Only God does.
Yes.
Do you remember when David was sent by his daddy out to take his brother some food? And they're all up on the hillside, hid out because Goliath's in the valley, and he'd come out and he'd defy the armies of God and their God.
Yes.
And what did David's brother say? I know the naughtiness of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
David didn't have a naughty heart.
No, he didn't.
He was sent on a mission by his dad.
Yes.
Yes.
And so later, when God tells Samuel, after Saul did what he did, he said, go to Jesse's, take some oil. And he said, you can take a sacrifice so they won't know really why you're going. And he went to Jesse's house. He said, I got a king over there. And David's older brother, the one that was very tall, first one by Samuel, what'd Samuel say? He said, that's got to be him. He's a tall rascal. You know, he's a soldier. That's got to be him. And God says, Samuel, you look where?
The outside.
What'd God say?
I look on the inside.
God's the only one.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You can't know what's in somebody's heart.
Amen.
To Samuel, who was a prophet of God, thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
But God says, you really don't know what is in his heart.
Yes.
Do you remember the young man? Jesus told a story. There was two examples. He said, he asked one guy, he said, will you go? He jumped up and said, yep, I'll go. And then he didn't do it. And he looked at another guy, and the guy says, I ain't going. Later he got feeling bad about it, and he said, I'm sorry, I'll go. Remember that?
Yes.
See, you don't know what's in people's heart.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
People can say things and act a way very often in the heat of the moment or something. But how many know, really and truly, their heart ain't that way?
Yes, sir. Amen.
So God knows that. We don't. Why did certain people respond to you in such a way as viciousness or not helpful? I don't know.
Yeah. Amen.
But have you ever walked in their shoes? They could have been facing some pretty crazy stuff for the last few months, and they wore pretty thin.
Yes.
And their answer was very quick and sharp.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow. But you have no idea what they've been through.
Yeah.
Be gracious to people.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Be merciful to people. And I'm going to give an altar call and answer it myself. See, me up here preaching to you. This is God helping all of us, and so I'm getting help myself.
Amen.
Always. So, everybody say, prayer of faith, confession of faith. And so he said, when we stand praying, verse 25, what should we do? Forgive if we have How about I pray and work on forgiving? Will it work? This ought to explain some things why so many prayers don't make it. Go please, if you would, 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
1 Peter 3:7, please. And let's look at this one in the Amplified, please. And then after the Amplified, do y'all have the Message Bible? Okay, awesome. 1 Peter 3:7, Amplified. You ready? In the same way, you married men should live considerately with your wives, with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relationship. So all the husbands say, I need to do this as an intelligent person. It's intelligent. See, we don't have a working meaning of the word, we won't know what it is. Y'all really left me hanging out there on a limb for a little while. But, okay, let me ask you this. How many, what are some of the things as men, what do you like to do, Brother Jim? Something you enjoy. Mine, working on things. Mine is any big equipment that blows black smoke. I know about horsepower, the hydraulics, stuff like that, then trucks. You know, the bigger the engine, the better.
Amen.
Are you with me? All that stuff. And then a question might be asked me, well, how was, as a young man, how would I get to have my wife more pleased or something? I'd be like, I don't have any idea. We was asleep when God made them. But yet, but yet, we will take time to educate ourselves on things, other things that are important to us. I'm not trying to create a fight here, okay? Let me move over here. And all those big amens on the CD was Heather looking right at Clint. Okay. But anyway, so we'll start over. In the same way, you married men. So all of us married men say, that must be talking to me. Should live how? Considerately with who?
Your wife.
My wife. With? Of? Y'all is like pulling teeth. Y'all want to help me read this? With an intelligent recognition
of the marriage
relation.
Honoring the woman as physically the weaker, but
realizing. In order
that your prayers may not be hindered and cut off, otherwise you cannot pray effectively. Amen.
Is this Bible?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You mean if I don't treat Sally right, I can pray to get healed and it won't work?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
This ought to answer a whole bunch of questions about
Amen.
Why so many men are sick. Now the wives might be feeding them some stuff too, but I don't know. But we'll get when my wife preaches, she'll clear that all up. But anyway, okay. Your prayers has to be activated, motivated, energized by love. So, did anybody ever find a definition for intelligent? Now, see, if I'd have said that deer was a Boone and Crockett record, some of y'all would have done had it pulled up on Google. Oh, you got it. Okay.
It says, having or showing intelligence, especially of a high level.
Have what now?
Having or showing intelligence, especially of a high level.
Of a high level. So we need a high level of the marriage relation. And what else for intelligent? Any other definition? What's that one?
Endowed with the faculty of understanding or reason, then all this. Knowing, understanding, well informed, skilled, as an intelligent officer, an intelligent young man, an intelligent architect, sometimes followed by.
Okay, well and skilled.
And skilled.
Yes.
How many of y'all are skillful?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Three.
Yes, sir.
Four. All right, what do we be at? Who'll be five and out of six? Okay. Okay, now. As men, we need to learn, and the only place we're going to get it is from God and the Word.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Sally and I are cautious about reading books by people who aren't Christians.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've read some. I've read Sam Walton's biography. I study some men that have been successful. But the main ones that we feed on are people who always reference what they're going to tell you with scriptures. Biblical scriptures. And one of the things here is skilled and recognition of the marriage relation. Honoring the woman as physically what? Please underline that. Sometimes people think the wife or the woman should not have a place of authority or speak. But the wife is only weaker physically.
Amen.
Not spiritually nor mentally.
Amen.
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 And if as men, as husbands, when we learn to treat our wives correctly, the wife willingly yields and helps. And gives. But when you force, there's difference. So, in praying, how can I cut what I'm needing health-wise, money-wise, off when I'm praying? Not treat her right. Which is scriptural. Right?
Yes.
Can you pull this verse up in the message? The same goes for you husbands. Be good husbands to your wives. Honor them. Delight in them. As women, they lack some of your advantage. But in the new life of God's grace, what? Treat your wives then as equals. Why? Go, if you would, to Psalms 91. Now, out of the book, Love, Way to Victory, write down page 227 through 228. 227 through 228. I'm not going to go read it. Go to Psalms 91, verse 1, please. When I was quoting scriptures and praying about and reminding the Lord about healing belonged to me, health, all of those stuff, there nothing happened. Nothing got fixed. The symptoms persisted. But as soon as I repented, I didn't need to pray. All symptoms left.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, well, you mean if somebody has sickness or something that they need to repent? No. I'm saying the first thing into any test or trial, that person needs to seek God early. And say, is this a direct attack that's illegal? Or are these symptoms here legally?
Amen.
If they're there legally, repent. If they're there illegally, run them off in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Where'd I ask you to go? Okay, thank you. I'll get there with you. Psalms 91, please. And we're going to, I'll go through it. We might read the whole thing. I think we have time. He that dwelleth in the secret place, the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with feathers under His wings, shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield, thy buckler. This here almost sounds like some of the plagues. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that lieth or that wasteth at noonday. Thousands shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. They shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Tell somebody that. No plague.
No plague.
Now listen, our confession of faith has to be activated, energized, and working through what?
Love.
Okay. What if I'm holding a grudge against you and I say that? And then people say, well, that faith confession don't work. Yes, it does. Yes. It's just not working for me because I'm not working it right.
Amen. Yes.
But you don't know what they did to me. You can't hurt them by holding a grudge. It will hurt you.
Amen.
They might not know the scriptures.
Yes, sir.
But if you have light on it, it will hurt you if you don't do it. God won't. It legally gives the enemy a shot at you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. They shall tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Now, this is talking about us toward God. And then God says, in return to us setting our love upon him, he will deliver us. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, I will answer him. This is God talking to us. I will be with him where? In trouble. I'll always make myself a mental note with that one. Thank God, God didn't send the trouble. But in the trouble, he is with me. Then he said, I will deliver him, I will honor him. Verse 16, please. Can you read that one to me?
With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Now, if you don't mind, is this old covenant or new covenant? Old covenant. And we got a, what kind of a covenant?
Better.
Tell two people I got a better one. If this, all of these are in the old covenant and I've got a better one, it has to include this.
Yes, sir.
But that would only make it equal.
Yes, sir.
There's got to be even more than this.
Yes, sir.
For it to be better.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Has
Amen.
To be.
Amen.
Can you go to Luke 13, verse 1 through 5, and the help, I'm going to ask you to pull it up in the message. Luke 13, 1 through 5. In the message. Now, listen. Does God like pride? What's it say about it? He resists it. It's one of the things he hates. What, and I said some things last night. Sally and I, we do travel quite a bit. And we go wherever God tells us to go. And we won't say things along the line of, well, we'll just go anywhere we want to go because that stuff can't touch us. Listen, that's pride.
Yes, sir.
We go wherever God tells us to go, and where he tells us to go, there is always protection.
Yes. Amen.
We don't get to say what we're protected from if he didn't send us.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
To say, I'll never be sick another day in my life. I have said that, but listen to this part. It's because I will follow him and do what he tells me to do. But I haven't always done it 100%. That's why I got touched the other day. I said, I am so done with that person. So it's good to say, I'll never be sick another day as long.
Amen.
As I walk with him and
yes.
I do what he
Amen.
Tells me.
Yes.
We will never be broke again as long.
Amen.
As we walk with him
yes.
and we do what he says.
Yes, yes sir.
Thank you, God. Folks, the glory of God's in this room.
Amen.
To help us see and grab this stuff.
Yes, sir.
All right. Luke 13, 1 through 5. What time we get out on Sunday mornings? Before noon? A little before? Okay. About that time, some people come up and told, this is Jesus talking here. About that time, some people come up and told him about the Galileans Pilate had killed while they were at worship. A lot of people think church shootings just started. There's a whole group of people in a synagogue. And they get these guys, Pilate, sent soldiers in there. They killed them and gutted them and took their blood and mingled it with the sacrifices. Jesus is telling this. You ever read this? Luke 13:1. So he said they killed this group of people at church. Then they took their blood and they mixed it with the blood of the sacrifices on the altar. Jesus responded. He's teaching his disciples. What's he asking them? Do you think those murdered Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans? What did he say? Very often, people think they had to be doing something wrong. Listen to me. We live in a fallen world. God is not running the world. He is running the church.
Yes,
yes sir.
The world is under a different system.
Yes,
yes sir.
Remember Luke 4, 5, and 6 Amplified? Devil taking Jesus up in the high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of this world, moment of time. And he said, all this has been turned over to me, and I give it to whomsoever I will. If you will bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Where'd he get it?
Adam.
Yes, sir.
The fall?
Yes, sir.
This is a dark place.
Yes, sir.
Years ago, because we travel so much, we got life insurance on us. And people say, well, isn't that a lack of faith? No, that's being smart.
Yeah.
Because I know Ricky. And Ricky always don't get it right. We got to make it plain. We will live until we get old. Unless I mess up really bad. So if I do something really stupid, I want her to be took care of. Seriously. I'm very serious about it. But if I stay right, and if I do something I shouldn't, and I get it quickly fixed, then the enemy can't touch me.
Yes, sir.
Folks, we live in a place that's dark. There's people shooting kids at school, grocery stores, movie theaters. You got to be led.
Amen.
We thank God for our law enforcement. People put their lives on the line to make sure our laws are upheld. We're so thankful for it. We're grateful for it. But they can't be everywhere all the time. But the Holy Ghost can because He's in you.
Amen.
Don't live fearful.
Amen.
Oh, I can't go to the grocery store. It might be something happen. If the Lord said go get groceries, go get groceries.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you want to take your wife on a date, take your wife on a date.
Yes.
Check with God. Amen. And don't lay it off on God like, oh, God said I can't take you. No. You tightwad, take her out to eat. Amen. How's that? That okay too? I'm sorry, I kicked my glasses. Okay. Love you, brother. You're welcome. You're welcome. Jesus said, do you think these murdered Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? He said, no, not at all. Unless you turn to God, you too will die. Now, we'll read this through. Those 18 Jerusalem, they built this tower over there. It's like an observation place, a tower. He said, you know, there were 18 over in Jerusalem. They was over there, and for some reason, the Tower of Siloam, it collapsed and fell. 18 people got killed. He said, do you think they were worse citizens than all them other Jerusalemites? What did he say?
Not at all.
Not at all. So it couldn't have been they was worse than everybody else.
Yes, sir.
Unless you turn to God, you too will die. Please write this down. Paraphrase. If you don't make some changes or repentance, you or I are just as vulnerable as the Galileans and the ones the tower fell on. I will not hold a grudge. I have laid awake thinking of ways how to get even that nobody would know it come through a preacher. When people come after you to destroy you or your life, I'm serious, it gets a little serious. But love never fails. It's so easy to preach, but it's a different thing to live. If you like the person you're sitting by, tell them, say, I really want you to stay and walk in love. Listen, if people want to hold grudge and unforgiveness and disease attacks their body, and we've got to come to a place of growing up enough that we're honest and say, well, we'll just pray and turn this. Your prayers are cut off.
Yes.
If they're holding grudges and unforgiveness and refuse to make changes, they are just as vulnerable as people without a covenant.
Yes. Yes.
But we are covenant people.
Amen.
That belong to a God that wants us protected and kept. But He can't protect me if I won't do what He told me.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Can y'all take a little bit more?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. I think we'll just try it in the King James. So the paraphrase that Jesus said in Luke 13 was this: if you don't make some changes in repentance, you are just as vulnerable as the Galileans and the ones the tower fell on. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. Y'all ready? We'll read this in the King James. Then there was a famine in the days of David. How long?
3 years.
Year after year. So around the third year, David did what? Folks, I wonder how many people are praying for rain. I wonder how many people are praying for healing. Listen. I wonder how many people are asking for financial breakthroughs.
Yes, sir.
Year after year after year. And they think the heaven is shut up.
Yes, sir.
Yes, amen.
Yes, sir.
Folks, this stuff is supposed to work for you and me.
Yes, sir.
And it is not some mystical thing that we can't figure out because we're humans. Don't limit that. We are spiritually alive unto God through the new birth. We can have access to the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
You can't communicate to your dog. I know people think their dog can talk. Sally's little dog, Milo, he could say, "My mama." He could. He could. Be in her lap. He's little, what was he, honey?
Yorkie.
Little Yorkie. And I'd walk up, and we'd worked with him quite a bit, and I'd act like I was going to do something, Sally, and I'd walk up to him, do this, and he would do the same. His lip would quiver. And I'd act like I was going to hit her. And he'd go, "Kah." I mean, he'd try to eat me up. I thought, "Dog, you have lost your ever-loving mind." But he was so cute. And then when I'd do something, touch her something, he'd say, "My mama, my mama." Really, wouldn't he, honey? But how many know he couldn't really communicate?
Amen.
You know, I never had him say, "Milo, what you want to eat today?" "Oh, I think today I want chicken." No, he never did.
Amen.
I know people think your dog can talk, but he really can't. But they do have a soul, but they do not have a spirit.
Amen.
So God put you and me on a place that He could actually communicate with us.
Yes.
And we have a right to access Him.
Yes, sir.
And He loves to access us.
Yes.
He wants to be involved in our life. He wants us to be protected. He wants us to be kept. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to have victory. He wants us to enjoy life.
Yes, amen.
Amen. So there's a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. So again, I'm going to ask the question. David asking, "God, how come it ain't raining?"
Yes, sir.
Wrong question.
Yes, sir.
It's not, "God, how come you to let this happen?" The question should be, "God, am I doing something I shouldn't be?"
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You're intelligent, I'm intelligent, we talk.
Yes, sir.
And if he says, and something comes up about holding a grudge against Brother Clint, then how many know? Ting!
Yes,
I got the answer.
Yeah.
Or something comes up about how you're treating your wife.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Ting!
Yes, sir.
Don't keep praying about finances. Let's fix that.
Yes. Amen.
So our prayers ain't cut off or run aground.
Yes,
sir.
So there's a famine in the days. We'll just read this and we'll finish up. There was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered. What did he say?
It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites.
So now we got a reason. Now we know why it's not raining. If God said there will be summer, winter, cold, heat, it will rain. Everything on earth will produce seeds after its kind. All of this stuff, and it stops. There has to be a reason.
Yes, sir.
How long ago was it we had a drought? Been a while back, hasn't it? Art, we had a drought in Oklahoma, just in our area. And we have grass for our cattle pastures and trees and stuff. And it'll grow anything. Hay. But our pastures got down where it looked like a carpet. I mean, 2 or 3 years, no rain at all. Yeah. Stuff eventually gets ate. Our water supplies, our lake. Our lake got to where normally it's about a mile and a half long. And it got to where it's a little bitty puddle out in the middle. And the deal that sucks the water, they had to try to figure out how to move it out to where it's in the puddle. And we're all praying, God, send the rain, Lord. We take authority over the devil. This dry devil. Nothing's happening. Finally, we all get together and says, God, we're sorry that our government, state of Oklahoma, allowed abortion. Done some things. We've related to our place we live. We ask you to forgive us. And we went through some things, and it started raining.
Amen.
So, how come it quit raining? Because of Saul. Was David involved in that? No. But David's what? He's suffering the consequences, and he's king. Thank God he at least had the presence of mind after third year of drought. He's like, we need to get some water.
Yes, sir.
So he finally said, God, what is happening? He said, it's Saul. So verse 2 and 3. The king called the Gibeonites, said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel had sworn unto them. Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? Wherewithal shall I make the atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? How can I make this right?
Amen.
The kingdom of God is for anyone who will ask Jesus into their heart.
Yes.
It's very easy to come into the family of God. Simply ask Jesus into your life, and instantly that person is born again and they have become a child of God. But once we come into the family, don't sit idly by and think God's in control. God will be in control of your life and my life when I get in agreement with His Scriptures.
Yes, sir.
I am His child through the new birth. You are His child through the new birth. But there are rules and regulations that must be followed in this family. Amen.
Amen.
Father, this morning, sir, we thank you so much for helping us. I'm so thankful that you've helped us understand that you're not mad at nobody. You're not mad at humanity. You're not mad at the church. You're not even mad at the sinner. You said in John 3:16, you still love it. You loved us. You loved me before I saved. So we're grateful for that. We know that, sir, you desire to run the body of Christ, the church, through and by the Word. The world is being under another influence. So people that aren't saved, people that don't know you, will live a complete different way. But we as believers, help us understand and see by the Word, through the help of the Holy Ghost, how to live. We're of a different group. we're of the kingdom of God. We don't respond to things the same way. We don't talk the same way. We don't live the same way. And when we do, when we yield, such as I have, become angry, different things, we get it right. We ask you to forgive us and cleanse us by the blood. We desire not to hold on to these things until sickness comes, lack comes. You're still willing to forgive, but then we have to start through the process of restoration. Thank God we can be restored. Thank God we can. But it's so much better. Early into the test or the trial, ask you, is this something I did? Or is this an attack of the devil? If it's something I did, I can fix that. I can ask people if I need to forgive me, make it right. But if it's just an attack, then when I use the name of Jesus, when I speak the name of Jesus, the devil will flee. And we thank you for it. We give you all glory. And we give you all honor. Whew. If I hear the Holy Ghost right, it seems he would say this to this group and to the body. To me, there's not a calendar year, but yet Earth does it to regulate time. 2022 shall be known as a year of separation. My children, my family, coming into a glorious or greater light, a place of protection, a place of hedge, so that those who do not know me through my son will see there is actually a difference between the church, the children of the living God, and those who are outside. I would desire for all to come into my family and be born again. But my family has been as broke and as sick as those who have no covenant. So let this now be a year of separation. Health, victory, prosperity. But it'll have to come because you desire it, not because it is my promises. So as we desire these things this year, walk in them. Know the enemy surely will be at the door, but he can be kept at bay by love, faith, and hope. Let this be truly your best year you have ever had. And should ere Jesus not come yet, come 2023, we'll be able to look at the next year and say, glory to God. Look what God had done in 2022 as we walked with Him. And it will cause great cause of rejoicing. And so shall be for the children of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor Ricky, amen.